set for the public hearing regarding ADKT 616 in the matter of amendments to Supreme Court Rule 49.17A regarding termination of certification for rural deputy district attorneys and rural state public defenders. This petition was filed by the state bar. So why don't we go ahead and start with presentation on behalf of the state bar? If we have someone here, Carson. Okay. Do we have someone in our Carson City courtroom? There we go. Okay. Oh, and look. Yay.
Oh.
Well, we had her for a second.
There she is.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and state your name for the record, and then you can go ahead and begin your remarks.
Thank you. My name is Julie Kavanaugh Bill. I am here in the capacity as president of the State Bar of Nevada. I want to thank Chief Justice Kadish and the other distinguished members of the court for having us here today and for considering our proposed amendment to Supreme Court Rule 49.17A. This proposed rule amendment... We're having an echo down here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this proposed rule amendment is one that we are very excited about at the Board of Governors, and I'm pleased to see, I think I have at least one of our fellow Board of Governors there in Las Vegas, as well as our Executive Director, Kim Farmer. But this amendment is part of a process that we began last year under President Paola Armini when we put together a rule practice task force. And we learned of the issue of the legal deserts. We are aware of it here in Nevada, but it's actually a nationwide issue. And it's reaching crisis points, not only in our state, but across the nation as well. And so in considering this, President Armini put together a rural practice task force that has now been evolved into a working group. We're pleased to have members of that working group, both in judicial capacity, the AOC, the Dean of Boyd Law School, and fellow rural attorneys and others on that task force. I personally am from Elko. I'm a practicing rural attorney, as many of you know, the first rural president of the State Bar of Nevada since Judge Andrew Puccinelli in 1998. So this issue is a very near and utmost importance to me as well, and my fellow rural attorneys, who I know there's a representative there in Las Vegas from the Elko County Public Defender's Office as well. So over the past year, we've looked at different ideas, different concerns, met, discussed in several different meetings, and the issue of the scarcity of attorneys in the rurals is on the rise. We have more and more attorneys who are aging out and retiring, leaving critical gaps in our services, and we're not getting the numbers to come in and fill those gaps. And one of the key areas, this is happening both in criminal and civil cases, but also, most importantly, in our criminal defense and our prosecutor's offices. So this proposal was put together, and it's a pretty straightforward request. It would just remove the two-year limitation right now on limited practice for those attorneys who are working for a rural public defender's office or a rural district attorney's office. It would mirror what is already in place for legal service providers. It would maintain that this out-of-state attorney would remain under the supervision of the public defenders or the district attorney in that particular county. These individuals go through the same character and fitness requirements that any active member of the State Bar of Nevada goes through. They have an annual certification. They're under the same discipline rules, mandatory CLEs. So all of those protections for the public are in place. Limiting them to the 2 years, though, what is happening is either the public defenders and district attorneys are unable to recruit qualified attorneys from other states. I know I believe Ms. Foster from the Elko Public Defender's Office has some examples of what their office has experienced there, but we're not hearing it just from Elko. It's across the region, Humboldt, Eureka, White Pine County, Lander, Pershing, Mineral County. They're all experiencing the same issues and believe that this amendment, by limiting the two-year cap, they would be able to not only recruit qualified attorneys who have practiced for 10, 20 plus years in other states, but they'd also be able to retain them. Because another thing that's happening is once the out-of-state attorney takes the Nevada bar exam at the end of 2 years, what they're seeing is oftentimes those attorneys are then leaving the rural areas and going to urban areas where they can make more money or have a different lifestyle than they're getting in the rurals. So we want to make sure we can bring good people in and we want to keep them there. We feel like all the safeguards are in place and that this proposal is one that we hope the court will grant, and we look forward to continuing to work with the court. If there are any questions, I can answer them now.
Colleagues, any question for Ms. Kavanaugh Bell? Not seeing any. Thank you very much. We appreciate you bringing this issue forward.
Thank you, Justice.
One question for Ms. Bell. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Bill? We do have one question for you.
Sorry about that. With respect to the spirit of, I can look at you here. I think it's my screen. With respect to the spirit of what's intended here, is there any principled reason that we wouldn't expand, not necessarily in this petition, but in a different, or change the population requirement so that Washoe could also be included?
That would be something if the court wanted to consider. We actually had a conversation last week with the Washoe County Public Defender and their alternate public defender on exactly that question. So it's something we brainstormed some different ideas. One of the ways they could do that is to, you know, to bring it to the state bar's attention, which I believe we're going to discuss that in our next executive committee meeting, the first Thursday of the month. And we will also raise it at our next Board of Governors meeting. It's something that we'd want to look at the information. We'd want to look at any pros and cons. It's just not anything that we contemplated while we put together the Rural Practice Task Force. That's where we're really seeing the crisis occurring. But it's something that has been brought to our attention. And I know that both President-elect Richard Dreitzer and I had a call with both the public defender and alternate public defender last week on that issue.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Anything else? No? Okay. Is there anyone else who wish to speak there in Carson City? I think that's a no. Okay. So here in Las Vegas, is there anyone who would like to speak regarding the matter before us today? Okay. All right. You would go ahead and state your name.
My name is Stephanie Foster.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for letting me speak this afternoon in support of passing ADKT-0616. As previously stated, my name is Stephanie Foster, and I'm currently the Chief Civil Deputy Public Defender with the Elko County Public Defender's Office. I have worked as a frontline defender in Elko County for almost 15 years. During that time, both our local public defender's office and district attorney's office went from having stable, experienced attorney staff to offices that continually struggle to retain and recruit much needed attorney staff. Practicing in a rural, remote area of the state, our attorneys often become jack of all trades. Not only do our attorneys learn and practice in all areas of indigent defense, but our staff are often asked to assist our clients outside of courtrooms as our clients struggle to access needed resources that are inconsistent, if non-existent. This includes aiding our clients in accessing court-required classes, therapy, and even competency restoration. As a frontline defender for both youth and adults, I have watched as the need for our services has only increased. Since the pandemic, the need for our services and our inability to recruit and retain attorney staff has reached a crisis. The few attorneys we can recruit often struggle with unsustainable caseloads and potential burnout. Hence, both public defender and district attorney offices struggle to retain deputies. This constant turnover not only affects deputies who remain in our offices, but senior attorney staff who must continually train new deputies, in addition to meeting ongoing management duties and maintaining a full-time caseload of the office's most difficult clients, or I'm sorry, cases. If a deputy is practicing under Supreme Court Rule 49.1 and a limited license, the strain on our offices and deputies is often exacerbated as these deputies try and continue to meet the needs of their caseloads while studying for the Nevada State Bar. The legal needs of Nevada's rural communities, isolated by location, are often forgotten by urban communities. The legal needs of Nevada's rural communities, isolated by location, are often forgotten as urban communities struggle to meet the legal needs of their own communities. Yet Nevada's frontier legal communities are in crisis, and this legal crisis far too often affects our community members' constitutional right to liberty, as well as timely due process of their cases. Far too often, our community members, including the very youngest in our community, are forced to wait in custody until out-of-jurisdiction attorneys can be appointed. Nevada's rural legal crisis is not likely to abate in the foreseeable future. Throughout my tenure at the Elko County Public Defender's Office, Supreme Court Rule 49.1 has resulted in several attorneys moving to and practicing in Elko County. In my experience, these attorneys were just as competent and dedicated to advocating on behalf of the citizens of Elko County as those who arrived in our offices with a Nevada bar license. In fact, our current public defender, Matthew Pennell, started out in our office under Supreme Court Rule 49.1. While there are concerns about expanding Supreme Court Rule 49.1 to allow rural prosecutors and public defenders to practice under its provisions indefinitely, as applied to rural public prosecutors and public defenders, Supreme Court Rule 49.1 is written and administered in a way to severely minimize such concerns. The provisions of Rule 49.1 ensure that rural prosecutors and public defenders that practice under its jurisdiction are as qualified as active attorneys of the Nevada Bar, save for the fact that they haven't passed the Nevada Bar. Under Rule 49.1, in order to qualify for limited practice, an attorney employed in a rural district attorney or public defender office must show they are licensed in good standing in another jurisdiction, that they have not been denied admission by the Nevada State Bar or have any other pending disciplinary proceedings in another jurisdiction. Such attorneys must also show a minimum NPRE score and are subject to a background check. Once they gain their limited practice license, as far as the attorneys affected by the passage of ADKT 0616, such attorneys are limited to working for their governmental organization and are under the supervision of a Nevada licensed attorney. Perhaps most importantly, attorneys who practice under Supreme Court Rule 49.1 are still subject to the court and disciplinary boards of the Nevada State Bar and must comply with the CLE requirements of active Nevada bar members. In my experienced attorneys often arrive in Elko County with families and obligations outside of the courtroom that make taking and passing a bar exam challenging. Hence, ADKT 0616, as proposed, will help our rural public defender and district attorney offices recruit and retain needed experienced attorneys who would otherwise not move to rural Nevada if their future employment is dependent on taking and passing a bar exam while maintaining a demanding full-time job. Furthermore, since the proposed changes to Supreme Court Rule 49.1 memorialized in ADKT 0616 require attorneys practice in rural Nevada, such attorneys, when they do arrive, are likely to stay in rural Nevada. Hence, passage of ADKT 0616 would greatly assist our public defender and district attorney's office throughout rural Nevada as they continue to try and meet the legal needs and constitutional rights of their community members. On behalf of our clients and on behalf of the Elko County Public Defender's Office, an office full of individuals who show up every day and zealously advocate for our clients, despite the obstacles above, as well as the challenges inherent in indigent defense, we strongly urge you to pass ADKT 0616 as proposed. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you.
Justice Kadish, if I may. Just got a quick question for
you. Ms. Perigary?
I think you've probably seen the public comment that have come in prior to this hearing. And there's been some suggestion that perhaps we ought to consider giving notice that these practitioners are practicing under this particular rule and have not passed the bar. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think we necessarily need to give notice, I guess, to people that they haven't passed the state bar, given the fact that they are being supervised by a Nevada attorney, that they've met the background checks as required by the state bar under the provisions of 49.1, and that they're continuing to comply with those obligations. Certainly, I guess, if someone asked, they could certainly say that, but I'm not sure what the benefit of saying that out loud would be. Because
on their pleadings, I apologize for interrupting. On pleadings that are filed, their like bar number is some like has an indication that they're admitted under 49.1. I think that
there's a C attached to the bar number. Yes. So yes, I guess if an enterprising person wanted to look that up and determine that they were practicing under a limited license, they could do so. I think that would lead to far more confusion amongst members of the public than it would lead to a benefit, just given how much supervision and requirements they have to comply with.
Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Yes, Justice.
Do you think that having that requirement of providing that information might impact attorney-client relationships?
You mean informing them that they haven't passed the state bar? I think that likely could potentially impact, especially with public defenders. I think public defenders oftentimes begin an attorney-client relationship. Sometimes those clients have had previous public defenders that haven't perhaps didn't give them the best representation. I also just think that stereotypically public defenders kind of walk in with a lot of targets on their back. There's a lot of public pretender, you're not a real lawyer. There's a lot that goes into being a public defender that a private attorney doesn't probably have to handle every day. So I think to kind of add, trying to think of that word here, fan that flame there, I'm not sure what the benefit would be. I mean, obviously, people have been practicing under this rule for quite a while now with C's attached to their names, and there hasn't been this huge influx, as far as I'm aware, of attorneys coming before the court indicating that they've provided subpar representation. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, they would continue to have a C on next to their name, and I think that would provide sufficient notice. And obviously, if the person had questions, they could certainly ask the attorney or reach out to their staff or office.
And wouldn't it be fair also that since they have to be licensed in some state, that there would then have to be a dialogue about the difference between being licensed in one state versus being licensed in another state and explaining that you are a real lawyer? And I mean, I can see that that could get away into a whole side dialogue.
Yes, I could easily see that as well. I'm just trying to think of, again, like the benefit of doing it outside of, I guess, being putting someone on being completely transparent. But again, members of the public I just fear a lot of confusion, and any time that they're not happy with the representation, I could just see that kind of adding fuel to the fire.
Thank you.
In Mr. Pinnell's letter, what I think was from last month, he basically said, I think in Elko County for the 3 years that he's been the public defender, you've been fully staffed for all of 2 months. Yeah?
That's correct.
And I think he referenced that at the time of the letter, there were only 5 of the 9 attorney positions filled.
That's correct.
Been pretty consistent over the 3 years that you've been over the 50% capacity?
It's kind of varied. Right now we're at 6. So we have 6 of 9. I know, we're very excited. But yes, it's since the pandemic, it really has kind of changed and shifted. It's just been very difficult to get anyone to kind of move to rural Nevada. I think we're probably seeing those difficulties in indigent defense across the state, even in urban areas. But specifically, I think in rural areas, it's just very difficult to kind of convince people to move out to our more remote communities. And even when we do, I've sat through plenty of interviews and they just don't want to take a bar exam. So, or kind of leave it up to chance that they might fail it. I mean, Nevada does have a pretty difficult bar exam. I don't know if you guys know that.
So what does the 2-year cap eliminating that? How would that play into the fact that some of these people are saying, I don't want to have to take a bar exam? By eliminating it completely, we eliminate them taking the bar exam, so they're more apt to want to maybe move.
Yes, I think, because I think, especially when you're talking about experienced attorneys, I think you reach a point in your career where you become very specialized, and the whole idea of taking another bar exam is kind of daunting, especially if your entire family's security and well-being is perhaps tied to that. And so the minute with the 2-year limit right now, it seems like when we do recruit attorneys from out of state, you know, the minute they get in, they have to start studying for the bar exam. Because sometimes, it will say as part of their recruitment letter that you have to, you know, take the next available bar exam or potentially that. So.
Would it make, short of an unlimited action, then would it make sense, like 2 years is quick, because depending on when you come in, how many bars there are, would it make sense to make it 5 years or 10 years so that as, you know, things change on the ground, or certainly with population changes, but it may be that people have an interest in coming. I appreciate the 2 years. You're saying uproot your family, you're barred somewhere else, come out here and work full time and hopefully pass the bar in 2 years. That could be that's an ask. 5 years different? Is 10 years different?
I think it probably depends on the individual. I mean, there's nothing preventing them from taking the bar exam if they want to take the bar exam, but perhaps their employment wouldn't be dependent on it if they decided they didn't want to take it. Their livelihood wouldn't be dependent on it. I do fear that 5 years goes by in a blip for most people. Those concerns do exist. So,
standpoint of interviewing with folks, though, do you think you get more response of the 2-year issue, or I don't want to take a bar exam again, hard stop?
Obviously, I haven't had, presented these potential options to them before, but from what I gather, it's I don't want to take another bar exam, especially since they're coming in. Most experienced attorneys aren't going to stop or start at the deputy level, right? They're going to kind of want to be in management or near management. And so to kind of have to come in at that level and then just be expected to take a bar exam, I could see difficulties with just increasing the amount of years that you have.
That's another question.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you just came to comment, not be interrogated.
No. I really appreciate the questions. I'm glad that I think this is a very important issue. And obviously, I deal with this each and every day, and most people don't. So.
Well, since your office at least had some experience with these certifications, is there a way to kind of group the demographics of who's doing this? Are these people coming in a second career? Are these people who have retired from other public defender's offices or criminal practice in other states? Are these people who've been 20-year practitioners and then they're like, now I want to move, I'm willing to move to Nevada? Are these people who've just passed a bar in another state and are coming? Like, have you seen any like demographic grouping, non-scientific?
Yeah, it kind of varies. We have a deputy from Puerto Rico, so he had, I think, been barred a couple months, I think that shows just how widespread our recruiting efforts had been, that someone from Puerto Rico saw our job posting. Most of them have been, I would say, under 5 years of experience, but we do have a chief, our criminal deputy position, I think, which Mr. Pennell referenced in his letter, has been open since our chief deputy died. And that's been it's been a huge loss to our office. And recruiting that position, I think in particular, has been very difficult.
It's my understanding,
because I have to admit, when I first heard about this proposal some months back, long before this was filed, my reaction was, well, why isn't 2 years enough to pass the bar? But one of the responses, besides what you're talking about people who don't may not want to have to take another bar exam, is that if people come in and do pass the bar within the 2 years, then they leave Elko and go somewhere else that pays more. Have you had some of that experience?
Absolutely, and especially since the pandemic. So they'll pass the bar, and within that year, they're gone. Either they're walked mostly to Reno recently, but we've had a few end up in Las Vegas too. So that's been pretty common. I think that's the other benefit of the way that ADKT 0616 is designed, is it kind of does just keep that experience within our office, because it is very frustrating to invest so much time and effort into someone's career and then they just kind of leave. So,
well, does Justice Stiglitz had asked an earlier question about perhaps considering Reno as part of this equation. Doesn't that also then affect your concern that, well, they'll come to Elko and then maybe lateral over to Reno if there's a spotter?
I guess that's possible. I guess that's probably above my pay grade, but I don't know. I know that, you know, it is difficult to recruit within indigent defense in general. When we do talk to Washoe County, they indicate that most deputies don't stay very long anymore. It's just people don't want to make a career in indigent defense anymore. It's some pay. So I could see where it's difficult throughout the state, but is decided with that. I just think it's very clear in rural. We need to do something different to recruit people to the rural communities, because there's just such a need for good attorneys, and it's just very hard to recruit them.
How are other states with large rural areas like Wyoming and Montana, parts of Idaho, how do they handle this? Do they have something similar to what we're proposing here?
Honestly, I didn't do that research. Some people have reciprocity with other states. Isn't it, or maybe it's Wisconsin and Wyoming, when you don't even have to take the state bar, I think. So I think every state is kind of figuring out different ways to kind of address these issues. This just seemed like something we could do to try. And again, I think we kind of have laid the groundwork already. Yeah. So ADKT is not really changing much. It's just kind of eliminating that two-year gap. And obviously we can change it later on if it doesn't work. But I think, again, as far as I know, all of the attorneys that have come through my office under this rule have all just been as dedicated and good and to this work as the people who have walked in with the bar exam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your responses to those questions. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak today regarding this petition?
Good afternoon, Justice Kadish, members of the committee. My name is Marcy Reba. I serve as the Executive Director of the Department of Indigent Defense Services, and I did write a written comment in support of ADKT 616, but I wanted to make sure that the justices were aware of where we are at the Department of Indigent Defense Services and some struggles that we're seeing. The state of Nevada entered into a stipulated consent judgment, and in that judgment, we agreed to do a workload study in our rural communities and create a standard of how many attorneys are needed in each of our communities. As an example, White Pine County, I requested information from the state bar of how many attorneys are actually registered as having an office in White Pine County. There are 12. With the study, our weighted caseload, we need
four.
Does
that include the judges?
It does not include the judges. They are not on the list.
Okay.
But what it does include is four public defenders, a spouse of a public defender, an attorney general, two private attorneys, one attorney that's no longer there, and two retired attorneys. So it's clear we're not going to be able to recruit within White Pine County to fill our four positions at the public defender's office. We are going to do a national campaign to try and fill those spots. And that's why we're advocating for this, because I think we need to look outside of what we've been doing historically. It's just not working anymore. Many of our other state agencies are looking to a nationwide campaign to bring people in, show them the greatness of Nevada, and bring them here. But there's a distinction, because we have to keep in mind, we're not just competing against other counties, we're competing against other states. Every state is struggling with this. So if I can say, move to Nevada, and for 5 years you won't have to take a bar, they might say, nope, I'm going to go over here where I can come and I can practice, and I'm going to move my family and I'm going to stay. So this is why we're advocating for this change, because there are so many pieces to this puzzle of how do we address this crisis that we're seeing in this rural community. This court passed 80 KT 611, where we're going to allow students to immediately start practicing in our rural areas. The Department of Indigent Defense Services is going to enter an interlocal agreement where we're receiving funding from DDR of over $450,000. We are going to go and educate individuals in other state schools as well as Boyd and pay them stipends to come and work in a rural area. So we're seeing positive change. We're having these positive things happen. But ADKT 616 is just one more piece of that puzzle where we can use this ability to have people come in, come to a rural area, and hopefully will stay. We're also proposing possibility of student loan forgiveness. Maybe replicating what they're doing for physicians to get them to come into the rural areas and hopefully have them stay. So we are here in support. We're available for questions. But that example of White Pine County, that's not the only one. Lyon County, there's 24 attorneys. We need 12 of them to be public defenders, and everyone there is already in different jobs. So we are here in support, and I'm available for any questions if you have any.
Alex? Yep. Thank you, Ms. Reba.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak today regarding this petition? And just to confirm, there's no one else in Carson City wishing to speak. I'm not seeing anyone there. Okay. Any other comments from the bench?
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because Ms. Farmer's here.
Aha.
Can I implore you to come up for a moment?
So let's get her name for the record.
Hi, Kim Farmer, Executive Director of State Bar Nevada.
Thank you.
So we were having a discussion in the not too recent past about just the number of attorneys in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want, as part of this discussion, I want the record to reflect, you know, the numbers as I kind of understood, very rough because I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it was roughly, there's like 11,000 attorneys in Nevada.
Yes.
Some are out of state. Some are inactive and some are active. And if I recall correctly, the number of active attorneys, people in state practicing in Nevada, was roughly about 6,000. Is that right?
Active attorneys practicing in Nevada is slightly over 6,000, yes. Okay.
So that's 6,000 to serve all the legal needs of every one of the 3+ million citizens in Nevada.
Licensed in Nevada.
Right. That's just want to confirm the number.
Any other questions?
Thank you for bravely coming forward.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else, colleagues? With that, then.